Blog Talk Radio.
We do not know what happened there. Everyone, this is Marty Oakley of the PPJ Gazette Online, and this is TS Radio Network. We are officially now a network. Anyway, normally we're not on Tuesday evenings. We're using this opportunity. I wasn't able to be on air last night. Carly Walden normally does her show, Hospice Survivors and Victims, on Tuesday evening, and Carly's grandmother passed away here in the last week, and the family is in the process of dealing with that. So, Carly, we're all thinking of you, and whenever you're ready to return, we'll be ready for you. I want to kind of update quickly on the summit, the Whistleblower Summit. Whoa. Ooh. Did a jet just go over?
Yeah.
What happened?
That's a 30-mile-an-hour speed limit.
Yeah, I think we all just took off there. but I wanted to update on this. There you go. Update on the summit. We had a very, very, very successful presentation at the summit. And I can't tell you how huge the response has been. We made many, many new contacts with people who actually can help us make a difference in that. And as things progress with that and we negotiate and all the trappings that goes along with that kind of thing, I'll keep everybody updated and we'll let you know what's happening, what, if anything, we need you to do. And we're probably going to need you to do something. But we're at a pivotal point here. This year, we really had an impact. The videos of the summit of our presentations are just going gangbusters. We have spent yesterday just tracking them across the net. Independent postings, we have now hit over 40,000 views. This is just unprecedented for this issue. Thank you to everybody who took the time to listen, who took the time to write and to support us. We just all appreciate it so much, and we will be back at the summit this next year. Thank you very much. We are now a permanent part of the Whistleblower Summit. Woo-hoo. And that's thanks to all of you.
You guys.
Yes, well, it's a congratulations to all of us. If it hadn't been for everybody pushing so hard and speaking out, doing radio shows, Luann, you do your radio shows, I do my radio shows, but we all contributed to this. It wasn't just us on the panel. It was everybody that showed up there to support us. I met people again this year that I had only known from phone calls and emails or radio interviews who traveled all that way to be there to support us. We had a standing room only crowd. The hallway was full. The steps were covered. The lawn had people on it, and they had to close the door because we were past capacity. So
wow.
Thank you, everyone. Thank you. It meant the world to us to see all of you there. And we did appreciate it, and it was noted. Anyway, our guest tonight is Helen Taylor, but just before we get to her, Luann, you had an update on what was going on, this ongoing case with your own family. And as I had talked about at the summit in my presentation, the idea about these audits and this these bogus documents that are handed out, if they're ever even constructed and handed in, they're seldom asked for. But Luann, kind of update everybody on what's happening there.
Well, as everybody knows, I've been involved with this probate court, I call it fraud, out here in Colorado. Our case has been up for 8 years now. And, I had my brother, he took my mom for 3.5 years, and my sister and I finally went in and got my mom. We got guardianship of my mom, co-guardianship. But in the meanwhile, all our property today would have been worth close to $5 million because Colorado prices have quadrupled. And so we're estimating of a $5 million loss. Well, we had a public administrator in there who, she was actually let go by the probate courts out in the 18th Judicial District, but somehow she gets to keep her job as a public trustee. Now, could you imagine working over like King Soopers or a store, and you get let go, but you're still able to work in the meat department? That's basically what she's able to do. She has power over our trust company, or over our trust that my dad put. He put together irrevocable trust. Now, remember, trust and wills are not worth a damn in these courts today. I don't care what anybody says. I have had 400 cases come to me. Not one of those cases held up in court yet. So anyway, trust and wills, they ain't worth a darn. Anyway, so we get this notification because our Chief Justice moved on to the Superior Court Justice, I guess, because our Supreme Court Justice stepped down. Amen. So there's, I think our Judge Seymour went up into the other Chief Justice. Well, I got a notice from a new judge where the public administrator said she's a private trustee. She doesn't have to do any more reporting for our trust. Now, who is going to – why would that even happen? I want to know what's going on with my family trust. You know, that is so much bull, I can't even believe it. I'm going to have to go in there and do something about this. You know, besides, she has our trust, and my mom's been in a nursing home for 2 years while she's still getting paid. I mean, this is unheard of, you know?
No, it isn't, Luann. You know darn well this happens every damn day of the week. See? You're confused. I can't believe you're supposed to. I would like to get paid for a job I'm not doing anymore. I could use the money.
Not even support. Oh, it's like, okay, why don't you just not only strip away everything we have ever worked for our whole entire life, but let's not report to the family anymore either, okay?
Yeah.
So,
yep. Well, yeah, when you're committing a crime, I mean, for heaven's sakes, you don't want witnesses. What's the matter with you? And I'm just so tired of this. I don't know how much exposing we have to do before somebody in a position of power and authority realizes the game is up, and we are not going to let up till this stops.
Right.
We will get it stopped. And
the best part about this party is that my sister and a friend from our group went down to the courthouse the other day, and they actually got to talk a little bit in front of these judges up down there, and they went up to them, and one of our group members says, you know, we could either picket down here, or we could have a meeting with you. Looked up at him like, we can have a meeting, you know.
Yeah.
So I guess now we're going to be having a meeting. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what you have to do in Colorado. You have to picket these judges or else you don't get anywhere with them, you know.
Well, one of the things, Luann, I think needs to happen in every state, instead of the bar associations, which I am a firm believer, they need to be disbarred, they need to be disbanded and outlawed. They are a clear and present danger to our republic. Now, I don't hold with this democracy thing. Democracy is mob rule, and the mob is sitting out in D.C. or your state legislature, and it falls on either side of this fictional line, either conservative or liberal or Democrat, however you want to classify yourself. But that's the mob that's ruling you. A representative republic means the person you elected is required to represent your interests. But as long as we keep calling it a democracy, they can ignore us. So stop calling us a democracy. I don't want a democracy. I want a republic. I want you to represent me. Now, you may not agree with me or do what I want all the time, but you will do what the majority of people who elected you want done.
Mm-hmm.
And that doesn't mean special interests and corporate money and all of this backdoor funding that goes on that you and I would know as bribery. That's crap's got to stop. And these people, if they're going to be elected, we elected them. They work for us. We do not work for them. And until we change that mindset and make it clear to them we are their employer, we're not going to get too far. But anyway, moving along here, because you know you and I can go on forever. Move along. Nothing to see here. Our guest tonight is Helen Taylor, and we've had Helen on before here a few years back, and she's going to be talking about her husband, Charlie, and what's happening there, and she and Charlie have a strange relationship. As I recall, Helen, you and Charlie actually like each other. said that on the first show, I just got almost fell out of the chair. And
after 42 years, we still like each other.
Yeah, still I get
but
it.
What we've got going on.
There you
what
go.
What we've got going on in the state of Missouri now, we can't use Charlie's retirement to live on. They're still paying the lawyers, and the court's still getting their cut. And we're living on my income. The guardian, she cashed in a $100,000 annuity for $60,000. It wasn't due till March of this year, 2018. She cost us $40,000. And so we didn't get that. They haven't gave me a dime spousal support over the last 5 years. They were supposed to give me $1,000 a month. Charlie makes $2,500 a month, and she's got him on Medicaid. Don't know how, but she has him on Medicaid. I would call that Medicaid fraud, since I went up here to the Family Services office and told him I wanted on Medicaid. I only make $913 a month. And since I'm taking care of Charlie now, and my grandson's living with us to help with his grandpa, they just kind of laughed at me, and they said, well, you make too much.
And, holy cow.
The total amount of money that you can make to get on Medicaid, $2,100 a month. Together, well, Charlie makes $2,500, but she wasn't reporting his annuity that he had coming in for life. She was getting that check wrote straight to her. The guardian had the $750 a month check taken out of Charlie's name, put in her name, and the check was going straight to her, so she didn't have to worry about going into the bank and cashing it with somebody else's name on it. It had her name on it.
Oh, my God.
When we got Charlie out last year, my friend became his guardian because apparently I'm not capable of handling our money. And so my friend did it. Well, she called up AIG, that's who his annuity's with, and asked them to direct deposit that to Charlie's account. They told her, well, you don't want to do that. You want to put that in your name. She said, no, I want it in Mr. Taylor's account. Well, the other guardian didn't do that. You want it straight to you so you don't ever have to report it.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
So that's what we're dealing with.
Helen, can I say something here? On the Medicaid thing, under the Affordable Care Act, and again, I keep telling everybody what this was a series of backdoor policies, okay? And you have to look for what that policy is. When it comes to Medicaid, if you have been on Medicaid 5 minutes during your life, the state, upon your demise, can come in and take everything, your home, your personal possessions, everything.
We don't have that problem anymore. She's got rid of all that.
Bless her black card.
under the Affordable Care Act, if they take a spouse, put them in a nursing home, get them on Medicaid, they're also supposed to pay the widow $1,000 a month spousal support. Well, she told Missouri Protection Advocacy that she's been giving me that. She never gave me one dime.
Can you sue her for fraud?
I could. I'm going to try. I'm going Friday to talk to an attorney, and he's new. He's with the Elizabeth Turner Law Firm. She takes care of, or she does four state federal charges. and they're going to take my case on a contingency base.
Oh,
so
excellent.
We'll see.
Yeah.
So we'll see what happens from there. But I've noticed I called the Attorney General yesterday. I called the Lieutenant Governor. I called the new governor. I called everybody in the state again. I started on my going around making all these phone calls again. Well,
mm-hmm.
Mike Kehoe is the new Lieutenant Governor in the state, but he happens to be on Facebook with Huffman, the public administrator in Moulton County.
Oh.
They've been on there for over a week now. Yeah. He's on her page every time I look.
Well, maybe we all need to write him a letter. What do you think?
Well, I don't know. He sure is buddy's buddy with the thieves in Morgan County.
Well, good. I think he's the ideal person to correspond with. I truly do. And maybe we can make him see the error of his ways. And if not, maybe we can show him the door. Okay. You know, you're going to have to forgive me, Helen. I'm extremely tired, and I am extremely frustrated, and I get really kind of mouthy. Well, I kind of am all the time anyway, but you know, worse than usual, let me put it that way.
Well, what I've uncovered with these nursing homes, I tell you what, in the state of Missouri, there's 509 nursing homes. They're all owned by lawyers out of a little town called Sikeston, Missouri. I think Sikeston has a population of 3,000. Well, they have their own nursing homes all over the United States. And Roy Blunt, no wonder he's a senator for the state of Missouri. I called him. No wonder he doesn't want to talk to me, because he appointed the owner of the nursing home to be on the board of directors at a college in Springfield.
Oh, good God.
Then,
I'm so sick of this.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
And then they had, let's see, I've chased the money all the way to Washington, D.C. Leon Panetta, that used to be the head of the CIA, he's on the board of directors for this company called Oracle Corporation.
Mm-hmm.
It passed in 1978.
Right.
They own Visa. They own Uber. They own nursing homes. They own hospitals. They own home health agencies. And their newest venture is going to be in laboratories.
Mm-hmm.
So it took me a year to get all I'm trying to get his medical records, but what I've got is about 500 pages of double talk and pharmacy telling him what his blood work is. And that's what I paid to get. And the other one, can't even open it because they neglected to give us the password to get into the disk for this place over here, the last place they had him in. But, I kept Charlie off Medicaid until about 4 months before he got out of this nursing home over here.
Let me say something here about Oracle. I ran into Oracle clear back in 2009, 2010, when we were fighting the USDA over premises ID and animal identification, which briefly was when they refer to your property is covered by the Constitution, and it contains rights and protections under the Constitution. Premises is a word from international law, and it has no protection. So it was a big sleight of hand deal where you were conveying title of your property. When we FOIA'd trying to get from Oracle in Wisconsin the number of properties that had been unknown to the owners added to premises ID, we were told that Oracle holds all of its databases in Canada, and they keep them off U.S. soil, so they are not available for FOIA requests. That's how underhanded this company is. Oracle is nobody's friend unless you're a crook, a thief, and a liar. And apparently it's holding up true to its reputation. Go ahead there, Helen.
Oh, Dr. Sugar called me from Florida, and I got to checking into that nursing home that those people died in.
Mm-hmm.
Oracle owned them. Oracle owned that company.
Yes.
And that's how I got to tracing Oracle back. And, I mean, billions and billions of dollars that they're ripping off from Medicaid and Medicare.
Yep.
It's just unbelievable.
And then it turns out the Podestas are both pedophiles and have been running wild in D.C. with that. I mean, don't you just love these people? They're the worst of the worst. And yet, for somehow, they have...
They tried to give me a job yesterday.
Really?
I called my phone. Yeah, they tried to give me a job. And when I asked them, I said, well, how much would I make? Or should my check just go to you? I figured that's the way that they're trying to get me on the payroll. And I no, that ain't happening here. I just let them talk. And then I said, well, I'll get back with you.
Do you wonder if they're sitting there waiting for the phone to ring? It just...
Oh, yeah.
Jiminy Christmas. I have to add here, too, my mother was in a nursing home in West Plains, Missouri. And my sister had shown me at one point medical records that she had been able to get. And it showed in one day, four times, they supposedly x-rayed, did the same x-rays and blood tests on my mother. We reported this to the fraud hotline with Social Security, Medicare, Social Security. They absolutely were not interested. They didn't care. What did we want them to do? Nope. And here was all this fraudulent billing and padded billing. Now, if they had done this to her that many times, I doubt she would have survived it. She most certainly would not have had any blood left. Not that I think she had a lot anyway. But, you know, the thing is, it just... You know, this is what you're up in. It's there's so many tentacles off of this in so many places like Social Security and Medicare fraud that should step in, and they don't. They claim they do. Call us if you have it. Well, we did. We sent you the information. You could see it for yourself. And they won't do anything. They can't do anything. What do you want them to do? Don't you just sometimes want to jump through the phone and choke people? I do.
Every day. They probably had me in jail for threatening somebody if I did it.
Yeah, there you go.
They've already had me in there for terrorism, you know what I mean?
Yeah. See, with me, it's not a threat. It's a statement of fact. This is what I'm about to do. I'm not threatening. I'm informing you of what is about to happen. But
When I told Huffman I was going to come and tear her playhouse up, I had a visit from social workers, and they said, did you tell Amanda Huffman you were going to tear her playhouse up? I said, no, I promised her I was. And that's a little different. I'm going to tear it up.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And but, my God, the stuff I've uncovered, if you would have told me 10 years ago this, I would. Well, you're crazy. They don't do that. Boy, howdy! If I woke up now, I mean, Jesus.
You know, go ahead.
When I go over here to the nursing home over here, I've got these old men that are veterans. They chase me out the door, begging me to get them off, get me out of here. We want to come over and live with you and Charlie. You know.
Oh,
and
wow.
I feel so bad. Tim, he's my age. He can walk. He does everything. He has three TVs in his room. That poor man has been locked up in this nursing home for 10 years. He would love to go down and look at the river. He's not allowed off the property or past the front door. And if they talk to me, they got locked up in the unit. So,
for God's sake. They sound like they don't sound like nursing homes. They sound like internment camps, which to me is exactly.
I ought to go check into one instead of going to the golf resort. I think they ought to check into
like
a nice nursing home.
Like a concentration. It sounds like a concentration camp.
Yes,
it is.
Yes,
it is.
You're told what you can say, what you can do, who you can, what you're going to drink now, what you can eat now. I mean, it's worse than a concentration camp.
We should start calling senior concentration camp. Serious, that's what they're turning into.
Yes.
I call these residents inmates. I don't even call them residents anymore because they're inmates.
They're inmates. In fairness, I have to say again, we have one here where I live. My granddaughter worked there for about a year. That the doors are open on that place all the time. You can go in at any time. The whole family, you know, you can push your baby stroller the whole nine yards. They want people to come in and visit. They have a community room. Stuff's going on all the time. There, you don't walk in this place and see people laying, staring at the ceiling because they've been drugged out of their minds or strapped in a chair with their head off to the side, drooling because they're drugged. You walk in the door up here at this place, and the only thing anybody will say to you is, can I help you find somebody? And, you know, and give you directions where to go, but you're free to come and go. You're free to visit with these people. They can leave as long as they're, if they're, it's necessary, and many times it is, as they're escorted, that someone's with them, you know, to be responsible for them, you know, and to help them along. And they, but the place is open. They even have it. They just built a few years ago a big assisted living wing off of this. These people are allowed to have their small pets. They come and go with their little dogs and every walk around.
Right.
This is the way it should be. And for the people that are there who don't have family surviving, because out in this area, a lot of times the people in this home are the last member of their family or virtually so. And but they're always wanting people to come in to keep them company, to, you know, just to eat dinner with them, just to, you know, spend time with them, talk to them. This is the way this should be done. And there isn't any of this stomping you at the door and the guardian said this and so-and-so said that. That door is open for you to come in. Now, people going out, of course, you have to be buzzed out, because we do have some people, of course, that are going to want to just get up and go. And so, but this is the way it should be. But the idea that people are being held against their will, and who most likely could live okay on their own, you know, that's something else, girls. This idea that somehow, because we get older, that all of us across the board must be made an inmate, as you put it, in one of these facilities and basically held prisoner because you got a little older than people think you should have. We got to get away from that.
Right.
That isn't the way it is. You know, that isn't the way it is. There are people who do need these kind of facilities, but for the most part, I don't think they do. Go ahead.
The nursing, let me add something in there. The nursing home my mother's in is in Aurora, Colorado, and it's called the Summit Care and Rehabilitation Center. And I tell you, that is the top 10% in the nation. And they have the doors open. They take these people on all kinds of, you know, tours, and they treat these people with such dignity in this place, you know.
Yep.
And we're friends with the nursing staff. We're friends with the housekeepers. We all go outside and we laugh and we joke and we take our moms out there, and it's such a nice place for my mom.
If you laugh over this one, they had they had Charlie in, they look at you like, what are you doing? What are you planning? I mean, you can't. You're not allowed to laugh. You're not allowed to smile. You're not allowed to do anything. Not even talk to other residents. They don't even want them to be in the same conversation. They don't want them to even hear of maybe there's life out there. They want them to be dependent on them for everything.
You know, and this, I've talked about this at the summit also, about this being a form of torture. Now, you look at the global ban on torture, the top three items on there, the top three things you can do to torture someone, aside from physically abusing them, causing them pain and things, is to pull food and hydration, which we do in hospice all day long. And third, but more importantly, isolation. What it does to the human psyche to be isolated. This is considered a severe form of torture. It is used routinely in the black prisons our own country runs. Isolating people from other human contact damages the human mind to an extreme. Then they put these people many times in a room. Not only are they isolated, they have no TV, they have no radio, they take their cell phones, they don't allow them visitors. that person withers. They wither. And, you know, people need to understand that human touch, we are a herd animal, whether we like it or not. I don't care what your religious beliefs are. We are simply a higher animal form. And we have a herd mentality that is in our DNA. And if we lack stimulation from other human beings, we lack touch. And I don't mean getting smacked around and beat up. That's not what I'm talking about. But the idea that we withhold, I say we, they withhold these basic human needs and necessities is absolutely one of the most crucial parts of destroying that individual. It destroys their mind, the lack of touch. Somebody pointed out to me here recently, a good friend of mine, Marcel, talked about how in poor neighborhoods, how you will see so many like nail salons. She said, do you really think, she said, people want to get their nails done, that people who are poor, especially, have money to get their nails done. They're not interested in that. It's touch, because you go into these salons and what they do is they massage the hand and the forearm, the feet, and the lower leg. This causes a chemical response in the body that is necessary to keep that human being from withering. Like babies who fail to thrive, it's because they don't get the touch that's needed. It causes a response on a DNA level in the human body. When you don't get it, you wither. You begin to die. And when I see this happening in these nursing homes, this isolation, this stopping of human contact, and I don't mean, like I say, this negative, aggressive, abusive contact, but just the touch of another human being, the conversation with another human being who isn't your aggressor, is extremely necessary. When you take that away, you see these people begin to wither and die, which I think is intentional on all levels. I'm surprised, Helen, that they let you even speak with Charlie at all, that they haven't blocked you from seeing him.
They did. We only saw each other 13 times in 4 years. And
oh,
that
my
was
God.
In the street after they accused me of terrorism. We got to see each other for 15 to 30 minutes. And then one day, it was my birthday, my grandson takes me up, and he said, hi, we're going to see Grandpa. And I get up there. The guardian has a dozen roses, and the administrator has a dozen roses, and they hand them to my grandson Ian, and he brings them over to me, and I said, I don't want them. He goes, you don't want them. And I said, no, I don't want them. I said, he said, well, what do you want me to do with them? I said, throw them in the ditch. I said, Grandpa didn't buy those.
Yeah.
Grandpa didn't buy them. They got them after Valentine's Day, because my birthday is 3 days after. They bought them at the Dollar Tree or Dollar Store for half price. They were half dead anyway. I didn't touch them.
Wow.
I laid them in the floorboard in my car. And Charlie said he was so proud of me for doing that. He said, I knew you didn't want them. And he said, I knew you knew they wasn't for me. And he said, you wasn't going to take their bribery. And they thought they could just smooth me over with flowers. Well, no, not after standing 13 times in 4 years. Don't think.
I don't understand this. What is that about, Helen? That separating people, stopping a spouse from being with their mate?
Well, if I met one lady in the license bureau trying to get her car license. She couldn't. Her husband had died, and Huffman had got involved with that one. And they came on the farm, sold all the cattle off. The little old lady couldn't even get a car license because Huffman had her car up for sale.
Oh, my God.
My God.
Yes. I mean, she wasn't even leaving this woman a car to drive after her husband passed away. And I knew those people, and he would have had a fit if he would have known that. But no, she lived out there by him, and all these people think she's really a sweet person. Even when they stopped me seeing Charlie over here back in February when the story first came out, when Health Impact News released the first story, they cut me off from seeing Charlie. I said, well, I've been here, done that. And so I just walked out the door. Well, we'll call the police if you come back. I said, you ain't going to have to do that. And I just lived across the street, so I just watched for Charlie. Well, he refused to come outside. He wouldn't. Charlie and I are just, we're a little hard-headed, you know what I mean? We don't
care.
Kindly
we like
to people
that's
telling
why we
us
like
what
you.
We're going to do and how we're going to like
uh-huh.
it. You know?
Yeah.
It's either treat somebody decent, we can treat you back. But
right.
No. The way we were treated, my God, they just came in, swooshed in, moved in, took over, and thought I was going to like it. Well, the property she tried to sell for $20,000, I finally sold last year for $45,000.
Oh, wow.
And Huffman had the paperwork all drawn up and had the check and everything and was going to sell it for $20,000. And I said, no. I said, that's all good. I said, but nobody asked me, and I ain't signing. So that kept Charlie off Medicaid for quite a while. And now our property at the lake, I still haven't done anything with that. And after Charlie came home, the guy called me up, and he offered me X amount of dollars for it. And I said, who gave you my phone number? Huffman had. And I told him, I said, well, you tell her that property will never be sold. That's why I've got her on Medicaid fraud, because Charlie's name's still on that property.
Oh, wow.
And you can't own property. I want this woman in jail.
Yeah.
She enjoyed me being there so much. I want her right there.
Do you know, see, and this is something I think we all need to be looking at as a counter to a lot of this, is to at least file a police report and try to get these people arrested. And get this into court. This is the only way I know to stop this. At least make the first attempt to stop it, is these people need to be arrested. Now, that's just the way I feel about it. And,
yeah, but how are we going to get done? How is that going to ever happen?
They break. Go ahead, man.
What? How is that going to ever happen? No one even follows the laws anymore.
No, they don't. You're absolutely right, Luann. Well,
and you can go and everybody can complain, but if nobody's enforcing the laws, then what are we going to do to enforce? You know, it's,
right.
I look more at the solutions, what we can do.
Well, the cops are all involved on it.
I mean, Molly
had me in jail. This cop would run in there and he'd go, that property should be in the paper this week. And every Thursday he'd run in there. Where's the paper? Well, that property ought to be in the paper. Well, come to find out, he was buying the property up for this crooked judge. But the judge isn't a judge anymore. They retired him. And now his predecessor, his daddy was a real bad judge. And he's the one that's withholding Charlie's money from us.
Okay.
And I knew his daddy before I knew Steve. And if I'd have known it, when he was little, he played football with my son. And if I'd have known it, I'd have probably hit him in the head a couple times. You know what I mean?
Get his attention,
yes.
Keep
him from being like this. But his daddy taught him the way it is. And so Charlie's still paying lawyers. That's why they don't want us to have his money, because then the lawyers don't have any to pay.
Exactly. There again, this goes back to what I said at the beginning of the show. There is several groups on Facebook devoted to disbarring the bar. The idea that this bunch runs outside the law, is making laws to benefit them and profit from them. The idea that they are voting themselves immunity from prosecution for wrongdoing, blah, 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 blah. And these judges, we're immune. We have qualified immunity. Police have qualified immunity. No, you don't have it. Read that Constitution. It says the laws will be applied equally. It doesn't say unless you're this special person wearing a costume and you carry a badge. It doesn't say that at all. I think maybe a counter to that is we should form a citizens coalition and declare ourselves immune from what these people intend to do. We have qualified immunity. You can't touch us because we refuse to participate. And, you know, just something simple like that to counter this and actually to expose how ridiculous this concept is, how self-serving it is. Because immunity on any level means I get to break the law and you can't do a damn thing about it. I get to violate your rights. You can't do anything about it. I have qualified immunity. No one has immunity. This has already been decided by the Supreme Court three different times that even judges cannot claim immunity because they are supposed to be the expert in that courtroom. They are supposed to be the know-it-all. And the
mine
the
was
thing,
a drunk.
Yes, and many of them are. That's what's really weird. Many of them are. They are. One of the things somebody told me out there in D.C. was, if you want to get a load of what actually is going on out here, the state of mind, watch the pharmacy trucks pull up in front of the Senate building and the House building and various other institutions out there and carrying bags full of prescriptions in for things like Alzheimer's, early onset dementia, psychotropic drugs, opioid painkillers. You know, it's an all-day process making sure everybody gets their meds. And, you know, you've got people that are supposedly in control of all this that are in worse shape than the people that are in these nursing homes, as far as I can tell. You know?
That's why every time I see something about Congress or, you know, well, I get out the way, old man Schumer, get out the way, stubborn Nancy, I've just come up with that. But anyway, I just put them in a nursing home, let them have 30 days rest there. See if they like it. They'd probably close the damn doors the next day.
Yes. And a lot of them should be in these, and I think that should be a prerequisite for anybody that wants to be a guardian or a conservator. We're going to put you in one of these places, and I don't think 30 days is long enough. I think 60 days it should be sufficient for you to be treated the way you're going to treat someone else. Yes.
Let's get 6 months. They put me in jail for 6 months.
Oh,
now they're trying to soundproof their jail.
Now let's talk about how these judges are immune from everybody, but why is it that you can't just sue them, you know?
You cannot sue them in their official capacity. Okay, you can, but you can sue them civilly.
Here is open.
Yeah.
Here is open now because he's not on the bench anymore.
Right.
So he's open to me.
Yes, but see, you can't sue a judge in his official capacity. In other words, you can't sue the judicial office, but you can sue them civilly as an individual, and it is for malfeasance of office, the misuse of your position to harm the public. And you can sue them on that. And, of course, then there's the, and depending on how you pronounce it, Ketam lawsuits, which they're having success with. And that's where you sue on behalf of the government because they failed to do so because there has been a wrong committed. I think another thing that needs to happen is, like here in Minnesota, you go in to vote, and here's all these judicial positions open, okay? And here's two names on each position. Now, what that tells you is, and you don't know who these people are, these were handpicked because it basically is a returning of a favor. We know we can depend on you to keep the status quo. So you're basically stuck with voting for one of these two people. Thankfully, here in Minnesota, there's a line underneath there that says other. So I always vote for myself. But the thing is, these people do not campaign. You don't know who they are. All you know in that voting booth is that they've already been tapped for the position. The person on top is already in place. This thing is just a matter of formality, and no matter how that voting turns out, that person gets that judgeship. They're already in the door. People think they are voting for these judges. You aren't voting for anything. They've already been tapped. They've already been selected. They're already in position when you walk into that voting booth. They should have to campaign just exactly like any other political appointee, which is exactly what they are. They should have to campaign. Their record should be made public. They should have to defend or support their own rulings, what they have done. People should be able to make statements about how they were treated in that courtroom, and it should be a public decision whether that person takes that job or not. But the reason you're not allowed to do that is because all of these people, I haven't met one yet that wasn't just as crooked as they could possibly be. They'd sell you, your kids, and your grandkids to make a buck. And they do it all day long. They don't care what the law is. And now we've got this thing out in California where they are trying to make prosecutors immune, give them qualified immunity. Now, the Supreme Court has already said that prosecutors can lie, they can fabricate evidence, and that's okay if that's what it takes for them to, because otherwise they might not win their case. My position is if you have to lie and fabricate evidence, you don't have a damn case. And so, but they're trying to give them immunity. Well, but my concern is that the public is accepting this doctrine of qualified immunity. Oh, you're this special person. You're a judge. You're an attorney. You're a prosecutor. You're a police officer. So you have qualified immunity. No, 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 you don't. No. No, you don't.
No.
And we have got to openly object to this and allowing these people to put themselves in a special class that allows them to violate your rights, violates everything about your life, and get away with it. Has got to stop.
Was it in 88 or something they passed it? It was okay for social workers to lie on the stand and get away with it? And
yes.
When, I think so.
Cool. Yes. Uh-huh. And that's it. We brought this up also at the summit, that when it comes to stealing these children from their families, which is exactly what they're doing, CPS now considered the largest child trafficking ring organized crime on the planet. And they are recognized as stealing more children without reason other than somebody else wants them. There's money to be made by selling them. Did you see here a few years ago where they were, I think it was the state of Ohio, and I could be wrong there, but they were advertising, showing pictures of children they had taken from their families, and they were taking bids on them. Now tell me that this isn't what's happening. You're trafficking
it
kids.
It is what's happening.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
And they
they're
are trafficking
doing everything.
Children. Yes.
These group and homes, they're the states are setting up these juveniles because teenagers, they need some place to put them. That's why they're doing these group homes now. I mean, if a kid has any kind, well, they'll be sick before it's over with because they'll drug them up and tell, oh, you've got ADHD, you're bipolar, you're schizophrenic. Once that goes on paper, it never comes off.
No, it doesn't.
That's why they're...
No.
And that,
that's exactly
why they're building
right,
up so many of these places. I
well,
mean,
and
it,
that's
it's
what,
crazy out here.
In the schools, they now are giving teachers 30 minutes of training so that they can diagnose kids in their classes as having behavioral issues, ADHD, this, that, and something else. And then they write a recommendation. They need to be drugged because this is tied to targeted drug funding that passed here
and
in Minnesota here a couple
it,
of years ago.
Take the kids away because they're not medicating them. And that's their excuse. And I was reading a thing last night. One town over here in St. Louis, they've got, 5,000. In this one town, they've got 5,000 group homes. Well, they're only allowing one group home every mile. They can only have one group home within a mile of each other. And we've got one.
Why would you need
up
them?
Here, they found him in concrete. This kid, his mother was his guardian. The county took her guardianship away, gave him to the county. They found him in a storage locker up here in cement.
God.
The guardian said that she had just talked to him. But no, come to find out, they found him about 6 months later. And the guardian said, oh, I just talked to him. He's okay. And they had a manhunt for this kid.
Jesus.
And the group home people are getting arrested, but the guardian ain't.
Yeah.
And
well, and that's the thing. one of the things I have harped and harped on, Helen, is, and Luann can tell you this, is the fact that we have been commodified. We are a waste population. If you're elderly, you're a waste population. If you're disabled, you are part of a waste population, considered waste, because you supposedly are using up resources that, that these young people and new people to the country need. Screw them. Everything you're walking on, every building you go into, every home that got built, we put there. We put there. You develop your own resources. That's your job. That's your reason for being here. Don't tell me I'm using up something that should have gone to you. You wouldn't have anything if me and a few million others of us hadn't have put it there for you. But now, because maybe we're at an age where we're no longer working, we are considered a waste population. And what the thing I see happening all the time is that we are repeating this cycle. We have done this over and over and over again, but they have sectioned us off, and they have monetized and commodified us, and they are buying, selling, and trading us and robbing us in the process. There is money to be made in people. We are chattel property, movable property and goods. I keep harping on this. When your name appears in capital letters, that is a signal that you are a dead person. You have suffered a statutory civil death. And it is the same in its consequences as a legal death, as if you had actually died. You're dead but still breathing. But you are no longer recognized as a living, breathing human being. You are chattel. So everything you get from the state or the county will be in capital letters. This is a signal to you. You are dead. You are dead in the law. And people say, oh, that's old stuff, and that doesn't mean anything. That's some more conspiracy theory stuff. And that's some of that fringe. Then how come they didn't spell your name correctly? Right. How come they didn't do that? If it is just conspiracy, wouldn't it be a simple thing just to spell your name, like with you, Helen, capital H, then E-L-E-N? Why is it all in big, giant letters? Because it's a signal to you, you are dead in the law.
Numbers up.
Yes, your numbers up. And, you know, the day I died was the day I got an administrative court letter. And, you know, I mean, that's just the way it is. But until people grasp this and understand the intent and all, and nothing is accidental. Nothing is just simply a difference in the way we do things. It all has legal meaning. And legal is not always the same as lawful.
Well, they run our new governor off that we had here in Missouri. And we get an old status quo. Well, I looked into his campaign finances and, we get a lot that donated to him. And most of it's out of the hospitals, doctors, nurses, teaching associations. You know, I remember my dad telling me years and years ago about Khrushchev making the statement they would take this country through churches, schools, and ignorance. And I thought, well, it's coming to pass. I mean, because the teachers, they don't teach kids anymore. I mean, they can't even, my grandson, I had to teach him how to sign the back of his paycheck.
Yes.
Curses.
Yes.
You know, I mean...
Have you noticed, Helen, they can't even make change for a dollar? If you pay for something and it's 51 cents, they have to get a calculator to figure out to give you back 49 cents. They can't do it.
Oh, I know.
They can't.
I know. They can't count.
And they can't read.
It drives me crazy.
Yeah.
They had me in jail. I was teaching those kids how to read. I mean, they had kids locked up there. They'd bring them a book. Kids, they couldn't read, and they'd spell words to me and tell them what they were, you know. So I was holding a teaching class in jail. They didn't know after I got out that out of holding that I was going to write a book on them while I was in there. So they'd come up.
Wow.
I mean, now they're trying to soundproof it, but it's too late. They got me in there, and I met them other two women. And those poor women, when they took them out of there, They were shaking and crying. I mean, they'd lost their husband. They were on their way to the mental hospital, which is where they put
them. Oh, God.
And
I
they
just,
had me one, too. But they kept
well,
picking
of course,
me out. So.
No, how come? I want to know.
I went in with my pocket stuffed full. I wrote the night before, this is what's happened to me in the last 2 years. You tell me if you're writing anything down that I'm crazy. You do have this happen to you and see if you wouldn't be a little bit wacky yourself.
Yeah.
And the doctor said, what are you doing here? And I said, trying to prove myself innocent. And he said, no, that's not the way it works. And I said, well, that used to be the way it worked when I was on your side of the fence. But now that I'm in jail, I said, it's a little different. I'm trying to prove myself innocent. And I said, I haven't done anything. So you tell me how to get out of that one. Well, he said, you'll just, it'll be on, they'll make you an offer and you can do this. I said, no, it's going to a jury trial for this old bird. I said, I'm not going to lay down and let them slander my name like that because I haven't done nothing.
Right.
Anyway, that's 719 days ago. Going up looking at old drunk every day. I wouldn't stand for him in the courtroom either. All right.
Good for you.
I just get.
You know,
I think you're
going to
put me in jail for that.
I had out at the summit, Helen, I had one attorney approach me, and he said, you know, you're bordering on practicing law without a license. I said, really? I said, the Constitution says the law is available to everyone. He said, well, he said, you're dangerously close to practicing law without a license. And I said, well, here's the deal. So are you. And he said,
yeah,
no, really. He said, I have a bar card. You know, I'm licensed. I said, the Bar Association cannot license you. Only the state can. And the state has issued you no such license. What you have is a bar union dues card. And I said, so you, in fact, are practicing law without a license. To which his face got beet red and he stormed off. And but
when?
This is the truth. They don't have a license to practice law. I don't care what they got hanging on their wall. Nowhere is there a license. There is permission from the Bar Association based on dues paid for them to practice their trade. Yeah.
They liked to die when they found my judge's license and it said the Supreme Court of the State of Missouri, the Honorable Helen M. Taylor. I just kept that to myself because I'd retired before they brought that up. And they liked to die. Them jailers were running in there. Get her out of here. Get her out of here.
Yeah.
We want her out of our jail. Oh, well, sorry, you got me. So I think that's the only reason why Charlie's out.
Yes.
It's
yes.
Because of that license.
There you go.
They
there you
didn't
go.
Take too happy to them having a judge locked up in their jail.
Gee, many Christmas. I don't know. Luann, what do you think? You're being quiet. It scares me.
I'm just being really just thinking about this because I talked to Helen, oh my gosh, what, 5-6 months ago or whatever, how long ago, and you're still in the same position. Nothing has changed. I mean, I just sat here and I couldn't even believe that you're saying that all this is still going on. I'm like, how could this be going on? I mean, it just pisses you off that these people can get away with downright murder, downright taking everybody we love, stealing their money, ripping families off, and they get away with it.
Did either of you notice, like, when they got Patience Bristol out there in Las Vegas and now what's the other lunatic, April Parks, she goes to trial, I think, here in October, bilking millions out of their wards. But I noticed in the sentencing for her, there was nothing in there requiring restitution. And I said to someone, what happened to restitution? Why? She probably hid all of the assets. And, you know, excuse me, do what you do to these elderly people that you come after. Do an asset search. Find out if anything's been bought, sold, or traded. Then demand that it be brought back. Whatever she got, she's got it somewhere. Make her produce it. Liquidate it and divvy that money up to the families she screwed. Oh, well, we can't do that. Oh, you know, that wouldn't be, you know, that's going too far. Oh, I see. So if I got this right, if I go rob a bank and I hide the money and I go do the time, then I get to keep the money? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. Wouldn't it be nice?
Yeah. And
you know, and I noticed that nobody ever gets back their belongings or their homes or no their property.
No.
Nothing. They don't even get
there's
back
no
their parents.
There's
no restitution of any kind.
Nope.
But they're allowed to go in, steal it. Steal it. Go ahead and steal it, you know?
Yeah.
Where they had me in jail in Morgan County? They just got the nurse for taking a cell phone in to her boyfriend that was a prisoner there, and she paid two guards to keep it quiet. And they got 30 days probation.
Oh. Oh.
I mean, wasn't that terrible? I don't know if they still got their jobs. They probably do in another county.
Yeah.
But they got 30 days probation for doing all of that. That if you all would have slipped me in a cell phone while I was there, they would have hung you. You'd have been gone for 20 years.
Yep. Yep. And you are absolutely right, too. You are absolutely right. And see, and that's why I see we have this duplicity of so-called law. There's laws for us and rules that we have to abide by. And then there's these special ones for them. And what really irks me in this is these are other people in your community who are more than willing to do this to you. And it never occurs to these people. I don't know how, you know, lacking in empathy, sympathy, or even morality you have to be to participate in this stuff. It's like these people in these nursing homes that physically assault people that try to come in to see their relative, their mom, their dad, their husband, their wife, whomever, and physically throw them out of the building. Does it never occur to these people this could happen to them?
That's what I tried to tell them.
Yeah. It never crosses their mind,
administrator. I said, don't you people understand? I said, you're young now, but I said, you're going to get old. And I said, what if your husband has an accident? And I said, you take a $1 million settlement. I said, you plan your life out. And I said, in 30 years, they come in and say, no, you can't have it anymore. We're taking him and we're taking everything that you worked for. I said, this could happen to you. You're lucky now, but you're going to get old.
Right?
I don't understand. I just don't understand.
This accumulated wealth, somebody else is watching. These people don't seem to realize this. Somebody else is watching them. There's another predator out there that's eyeballing them. And will come after them to take what they took. And it never crosses these people's mind that they could become a target in this same system that they are helping operate now.
They will be a target before it's over.
Yes, yes, yes. Simply by virtue of the fact that, say, you've got a lot of stuff and I'd like to have it.
That's mine. They become the heir, you know.
Yep.
I've got this friend down in North Carolina. They took his mom twice. They went through $5 million. Well, she never was on Social Security. She's always had an annuity.
Mm-hmm.
Her husband was a lawyer, and her son works for a Chase Bank down in Florida. Well, they send everything to them boys, too, so they can't ever get their mom out. Because, I mean, his brother put him in jail, said, and they love this terrorist threat. I mean, they love it.
Mm-hmm.
They accused him of the same thing. And that kid ended up getting beat up in jail, losing an eye. And Craig, he calls me all the time, and we talk about his mom, you know, and she's a funky little thing. She's 87 years old, and I want to be myself again. I want to be my own person. I don't want to report where my dollars are going. And
yes.
You know, well, it's because they want them. They don't want her
right.
to have any money.
Exactly. You know,
it just aggravates me.
Helen, I talked also at the summit about that predator that's running up there in Detroit, who has 1,700 wards, last I knew.
Oh.
And she's doing it by volume. These are all people on Social Security and or VA and or railroad retirement. And she makes herself the assignee on all of their benefits. She gives them $44 a month. But figure this out, 1,700 wards. And she's cashing their checks every single month. And somebody get a clue here. This ain't about taking care of anybody. This is legalized theft. San Francisco, talking about conserving the homeless. And I was amazed at the people who jumped up and said, oh, isn't this wonderful? They're going to, you know, take care of these people. No, they're not going to take care of them. Kind of fool are you? Conservatorship is of the finances. They're going to make sure every one of them is on SSI, if not Social Security, or some other state aid, and they will make themselves the assignee, the guardian will, the conservator will, and then they will collect all that money and give that person 40. They're not going to do anything to take care of those people. They're going to leave them right where they found them. They're just going to sign them up and collect their benefits. And the people, if you don't pay attention to what they are actually saying, what they are actually telling you they're going to do, pay attention to the words they're using, because we've got all this weasel word swapping going on. We got trade agreements instead of treaties. With other countries, a treaty has to be voted on by 3/5 of the Senate and passed and blah, 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 before it becomes the law of the land. A trade agreement is a corporate agreement between governments. And we're not compelled to comply with that, but they tell us we do. Vaccines, they always use the word efficacy. Oh, the efficacy is 94%. Efficacy is when you take, let's say, for instance, 100 people who are medically most likely not to adversely respond to the vaccine or fall over dead, 94%. Efficiency is the word you want to look for. That's when you apply it broadly to the population without any filters. Now the efficiency drops down to 3 to 4% because the other 95, 96, 97% of people either dropped over dead or had severe adverse reactions to the vaccine. But we see this weasel word swapping all the time. People are telling you, they're telling you exactly what they're doing, and you're persuaded because you haven't bothered to educate yourself of what they're actually talking about. Yet sounds almost the same, so it must be the same. No, it isn't. It isn't. So you always have to listen to what they're saying. Conservatorship and guardianship are two different things. Now, you can combine a conservatorship with a guardianship, and it's called a plenary guardianship. That means you have control of the person and the finances.
Right.
But a guardianship, a limited guardianship, is of the person only. Okay, or it may be a limited guardianship in the fact that you're their guardian, but you're overseeing their finances. Did you two know they're still rolling this bill around out in Massachusetts, written by the former attorney general of that state? And if that doesn't scare the people in Massachusetts to death, I don't know what would. But he's put it out about guardian, they need a public guardianship office, and it'll only cost the public $400,000, because the stakeholders, who they will not mention, you can't get out of them who the stakeholders are, but you can guess, they're going to bear the rest of the cost, and all of the guardians are going to be volunteers. Mm-hmm. What could go wrong here? But this bill includes a whole section on immunity for everyone involved with that person targeted, right down to the nursing home staff and everyone else, and they all have immunity even from something called ordinary neglect. Now, I wrote Mr. Harshberger and asked him to explain to me exactly what ordinary neglect was, because I wasn't aware there was such a thing as ordinary neglect, but obviously I don't know everything. I never got a response. They're still running this bill. They're still trying to pass it. So this idea of immunity for all of these players in these situations, and it's being expanded to cover everybody, which will make people more amenable to participating. Do you see what I'm saying? As long as you can protect me and keep me from being prosecuted for maybe beating somebody up or failing to feed them or, you know, doing other horrendous things to them while they're in my care, yeah, sure, I'll go along with that. And it just, I don't know. I don't know. We're still waiting up here in Minnesota for those 26,000 nursing home complaints that went uninvestigated. They still have not investigated one, still have not closed a nursing home. 26,000 complaints, and you don't think we've got a problem?
My sunshine law, that when Charlie got sexually assaulted when he was in that nursing home, and it's called sunshine law here in the state of Missouri, and you just fill this paper out, send it to them, and they have to give you a copy of the police report.
Yeah.
So they wouldn't give me the copy. They gave me a ticket for harassment.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
Ladies, we've got two callers waiting here. We're going to bring one up and then the second one. Area code 281, do you have a question or comment for Helen or Luann or myself?
Yeah, morning. This is Sherry Johnson. How are y'all this evening?
Hi,
good.
Sherry.
How you doing, Sherry?
I'll go great. I got a comment and see what y'all got to say. When we find out that our loved one has been for a guardianship, I wonder what would happen if we immediately got an attorney and filed a federal lawsuit against the judge for financially exploiting our elderly parents, putting them in danger.
That's a good idea. I think what we need to do now, first off, you're going to have a hard time getting an attorney to do it because the repercussions for that is they'll get investigated. Ask Lisa Belanger out there in Boston and several other attorneys across the country who actually went to bat for their clients, and they get investigated and disbarred immediately. They take their license and knock them out. But I think what we need to do is start at least launching these actions, even if it's as a pro se. Carolyn Douglas, who comes on my whistleblower show once a month, is just absolutely on top of the pile on that one, what to expect, how to do it, so on. But, Sherry, I think it's time that we stepped outside of these tribunals. I think you're absolutely right. And it's something we need to look into.
Well, I told that lawyer.
Go ahead.
Yeah.
I told that lawyer I'm going to see Friday. I said, I can pro se this myself, but just so I don't have to do all the paperwork and jump through all the hoops, I'd just soon pay him to do the paperwork.
Yeah.
And so they're going to take it on a contingency so that all the T's are... You know, all the T's are crossed and the I's are dotted, because if I'd miss one thing, it would throw the thing completely out. And
you might use the wrong weight paper, the wrong color ink, the wrong font, the wrong binder color. I mean, all kind of, the staple could be in the wrong place. You just don't know. Sherry, did that answer your question?
Yes, it does. Marty, I just wanted to make the point that I think it's really great that we have organized ourselves and that we are networking together to encourage each other and to help each other find information and resources.
I do too, Sherry. I do too. And we'll keep pulling people together, and it's working out well for all of us. But thank you for calling, Sherry.
Thanks, Sherry.
Okay, we've got another caller on here. Area code 920, did you have a question or comment?
Yes, Marty, this is Kelly Brand.
Oh, hey, Kelly.
And Helen, hello, Helen.
Hey, Kel.
I had a question. When it comes to, like, this developmentally delayed relatives, is it even wise to even seek guardianship over your disabled loved one? Because with everything that has occurred with my son, I would have never expected this, but I've heard that it's based on retaliation because I did have my son under this class action lawsuit for medication problems. But
Kelly, the one thing I have found out in these cases, and I've noted a pattern, you know, you can always see a pattern at work when you get to dealing with so many of these cases, is that either A, there is a trust involved, or there is Medicare, Medicaid money involved, maybe Social Security benefits involved. There's something usually involving cash that people want access to. And so there again, your son got monetized, categorized, and got sold up. I think Helen just took off again.
Oh, I'm Helen telling just you won. What. I got people out here arguing, and I'm trying to keep awake.
Yep.
Oh,
but,
Lord.
But, Kelly, that's...
I've got neighbors out here.
Yep.
Go ahead, Kelly.
The,
I'm sorry.
The thing
I didn't
is, she's been trying to launch all night. Anyway. But Kelly, there you go. It's always, there's always a monetary interest. There is money to be made either through federal and state programs, or there is a trust account, or there is an insurance payout. There is something that is the only actual interest they have. But in order to access that, they have to take possession of, and you become chattel. I keep talking about that. You become a thing. We have been monetized, sectioned off, and made commodities. And so once they can treat you, and then I talked about this in an article I just put up, of how people come to the conclusion or how they detach themselves mentally from their own humanity, from other people viewing them as actual human beings. They view them as things, as commodities, something to be bought, sold, and traded, something to be used to increase their own net worth. They don't see them as human beings. I've been following your story. I do read all of your emails, Kelly. I've been following your story about Dungarvan and everything. This place is just absolutely a dungeon. The name itself gives me the creeps. This is a very twisted system that he's caught up in. And but as long as somebody can make money out of him, off of him, and as long as they aren't faced with him and having to recognize the fact that he is a human being, they'll keep on doing what they do. And that's just the truth.
Well,
and I think,
I've gotten pretty loud with them. Those emails have really made a big difference, because they connect to the governor, they connect to all of the state representatives, they connect to senators of the state and everything. And, you know, other people, and they know this. I, you know, have exposed this visiting nurse that used to go by the house, because they never took my son, who was court-ordered to go to a specific doctor every 2 months, and they never, ever took him to that doctor. They just recently, his attorney just found out that he did not have any recent psychological that would state that he needed to be under the extreme restriction of Dungarvan.
Right.
And they claimed that they did have that. Well, if they did, it was from this Dr. Aaron Wade, you know. And it seems that me and a Shirley Ferrier, we both have in common this Dr. Aaron Wade that has had a connection with both of our sons.
Hey, what's going in there?
But you have to expose these people, you know, in order to put a stop to a lot of this.
Can I, Kelly, can I give you a little advice? One thing I have found out over the years is it's one thing to have an email list that you're mailing out to that includes these public officials and so on, but you need to email them separately, because when an email comes into their office and they and Ellen just launched again, and it comes into their office and all these email addresses are exposed, it immediately gets trashed. The second thing is, when you include their name in a list of other unrelated emails, unrelated meaning not politicians on, but you need to contact them individually, because there are certain things that happen that cause your correspondence to immediately be trashed. And one of them is being part of a large email list. So when you contact these people, contact them separately. Don't include them on on a list because your correspondence will never get read ever once they detect that.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. All right, that makes sense.
Yeah. And the other thing I would do, too, a lot of people don't know snail mail. They didn't get it. They didn't see it. Nobody told them about it. They don't have any record of it. Emails, same thing. Oh, we get so many emails. We just can't, you know. You have to fax them. Fax has got to be kept on file for public viewing for 7 years. It is the only legal electronic communication that is recognized, like, say, by the court. And if you demand a copy of their fax, then they have to show that, yes, they did receive this information. They did receive this correspondence from you. Petitions. And I always sign petitions simply to show my support for what someone is doing. But if you don't write your own letter in that petition, if you don't make your own statements and you just simply sign the cover letter, it can have 10,000 signatures on it, and that politician's office will count it as one. You've got to make your own statement. You've got to make your own. And most of these petitions, like I say, I sign them in support, but most of them are never viewed. They are never read. They are never acknowledged. And if you try to carry them in, like out in D.C. to an office, they won't allow you to bring these signed petitions in. They won't allow you to put them on anybody's desk, leave them in the hallway, put them on a table or nothing. You are forced to take them back out of the building. It's called plausible deniability. And so these are just little things I've learned over the years. If you're contacting news outlets, always do it as a singular, letter. Don't put a news desk in with, you know, 10,000 other email addresses. Don't carbon copy it or blind copy it, because they can pick up on that. And when they find out that it's been sent out to 10,000 other people, including them, there again, they won't even look at it. You send it to them individually. And the other thing about that is, when it comes to news agencies, if you've sent that information to 20,000 other people, they're not going to do anything with it, because, of course, they want to be the first to the report and the only one that knows and on top of everything. And, you know, these are things people do. Their intentions are good, but they don't understand how this works and how these things are viewed. So that is the one piece of advice I would get you, is separate out the politicos that you are contacting and write them individually, and don't attach anybody or anything else to it.
Yeah.
Good advice.
Because I was trying to figure out too how to get an investigative reporter to look into things, because it seems like they seem to side with the other side all the time.
Yes.
One reporter looked into a Dungarvan case in Madison one time, and she basically criminalized the client, and he's autistic as well. Well, he's going to attack the staff if the staff are attacking him.
Mm-hmm. Oh, God.
It's just crazy.
Yeah, it is. Good Lord. It's like running the gauntlet, you know. You just don't know who's going to stab you first with a spear. you know, I mean, truly it is. You just don't know who's going to come after you first. And but yeah, I have been following your emails on what is going on, what's happening with your son. The suggestion that Sherry made about getting this into federal court, before you can go to federal court, you have to jump through the hoops in your state. And people have said, well, we'll go to the FBI. The FBI will not intervene in anything until the police have investigated and closed an investigation. Now, does it make any difference whether they closed it pro or con? Once they close the investigation, then the FBI can step in. Otherwise, they have to be invited in by the police, by law enforcement, and if they aren't invited, they can't intervene.
Mm-hmm.
And the court system.
And the police refuse to make reports.
Yes. Yes, they're all part of the
mm-hmm.
same system because it's all
exactly.
cash incentivized, and their money train could stop if they actually did their job. And,
yes.
Helen, it sounds like you just came to a screeching halt there, sweetie.
Oh, I'm just sitting here. Oh,
yeah.
Lord.
But it's learning to navigate this system and learn the tricks they use, like zipping Brownsburger out there in Massachusetts, because there was so much input from outside of the state and from various sectors of his own state about this bill rolling out there for public guardianship that they've been fighting tooth and nail. He came out with, unless you're in his district, you can't comment anymore. Really? I've heard this from federal legislators. You're not in my district, so out of courtesy to other... Look, I didn't, you know, vote for you to be courteous to other people. I voted for you to represent my interests. And as long as your vote affects me, you have an obligation to speak with me. Otherwise, when you vote, please... make it, you know, put a signing statement on with that says this will apply only to people in your district, because those are the only people you'll talk to. All of these tricks, and they make it sound like, you know, they're doing us some big giant favor. And, you know, because of the volume, I can only talk to people in my district. Excuse me, you're representing the state from that district. You don't represent only those people. When you vote, your vote affects all of us. You have a duty to listen to us. And
Saturday here in Missouri, we're having the Second Amendment, and all the men are coming in. Well, a few of us have all got together, and we're bringing the moms for their kids in.
Yep.
And so Saturday, there's about 700 people going to show up here in Jeff City.
Oh, wow. Okay.
I'm going to be there carrying signs, guardianship abuse.
There you go. And
there you go.
We've got about 3 minutes left here, girls. Kelly, I want to thank you for calling in. Sherry, you also. Helen, we need to have you on more often to keep updated with this, and I definitely want to have you on after your rally down there in Jeff City to see how that turned out and if you get any response from it. Luann,
okay.
If I was you, I'd get on opioids. That's what I'd do, because apparently when you're on opioids, nothing matters. And I'm only looking out for your best interests. And
I need a cigarette.
Yeah, I got them going all the time, girl. I got them going all the time. And I know somebody recently said to me, you know, I've been smoking since I was 13, please. Marty, you know those cigarettes are going to kill you. And my response was, so are men, but I haven't been able to quit them either. But anyway, we will be back tomorrow night with Wild Horse and Burro Radio. The BLM is on the verge of absolutely obliterating all of our wild horses and burros. We've been fighting that for 4 years. I'll be back Thursday night with Lawrence Lucas on the Whistleblower Show, talking about the USDA and all the crap that goes on there. Then I'm going to try and take Friday and Saturday off. We'll see how that works out. And in closing, I want to thank everybody for being on. And like I always say, sometimes once in a while, you can't always choose who walks into your life, but you can damn sure pick which window you throw them out of. And with that, thank you, everybody. And we will be back next week. Good night.
Thanks, Martin. Night, everybody.
Night.
Night.